goals for themselves. Do you make New Year's resolutions? Is that something you've given up on a long time ago? If you do make them, do you keep them? Many of our goals have to do with self-improvement, losing a little weight, getting in better shape, getting closer to God, reading the Bible on a regular basis. These are all worthy ambitions, and you should go for it. You should be trying to improve, setting goals. Let me make two suggestions. If you're one of those who's going to set a goal for this year, here's two suggestions. Number one, set realistic goals. Goals that are within your reach, goals that are achievable. Now, I don't mean setting them so low, but don't set them too high. You can always, halfway through the year, reassess and set more goals. Maybe your goal, achievable goal, is to lose 10 pounds, and you accomplish that in 6 months. And you go, well, let's lose 10 more. You can add to your goals. Getting in shape, you say, well, my goal this year is to run a marathon. That's an unrealistic goal. Maybe your goal should be to walk a 3 mile run. They have these 10K races. Walk one, then jog it, and then work your way up to a 10K race, which is 6 miles, and work your way up to a half a marathon. But don't set such a high goal. I'm going to run a marathon this year. Set an achievable goal, reach it, and then set the next goal. You're going to have much more success if you set realistic goals. And the second part of this, I just had two suggestions. Number one is set reasonable goals. Number two is find a goal partner or partners. Find someone who'll join you. Maybe if you're trying to lose a little weight, there's someone that'll hold you accountable to eat the right things. Maybe to get in shape, that's going to walk with you and jog with you. Listen to this great verse from Proverbs. Excuse me, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12. By the way, the same guy wrote Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, but Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Here's what he said. He says, two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Even Solomon realized, if you're going out for a walk, go with somebody and they'll keep pace, they'll help you with if there's danger, or even three. So set realistic goals and find goal partners. Now, today I'm going to encourage you to set a goal. I'm going to direct you towards a goal, and I'm going to suggest that you find a goal partner, someone that'll do this with you. And that is to read your Bible this year. Sometimes we get out of the habit of reading the Bible. It's very easy to do, especially since we don't even use physical Bibles anymore. We've got apps on our phones, so our Bibles get set on a shelf or on a desk or a nightstand, and they just sit there. And we are so busy looking at Facebook and other things, we don't get around to looking at the Bible part. We've got Bible apps. So my goal to you today is make it a goal to read a little bit of the Bible every day, and find a partner who holds you accountable to that and do the same. I remember I did this with my daughter, Sarah. When she was a teenager, we decided we'd read through the whole Bible, which is too lofty of a goal for me because I'm not a good reader. But we got one of those one-year Bibles, and she just trucked right through it, and I fell apart about Chronicles. I got the Chronicles. But the thing is, we'd made a bet. We'd made accountability. So I had to pay her $100 because she finished it and I didn't. But even today, that was the one time I was somewhat accountable to try to keep up. I just set too high of a goal for me. I'm not a big reader, so I read a little bit less. I'm not suggesting that you try to read hours every day, but just a few minutes a day and in a regular time of day, so it becomes kind of a habit. Some of you are already on a reading plan. A lot of you love the one-year New Testament or the one-year Bible. Fantastic. If you love that, stay in it. My wife has read through her one-year Bible year after year after year. By the way, if you want to read through the New Testament, there's a really easy way. If you read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday, weekdays, that's 260 weekdays in a year. 260 weekdays, not weekends, just weekdays. Guess how many chapters there are in the New Testament? 260, exactly the same. So if you just read one chapter a day, Monday through Friday, you'll get through the whole New Testament, and that leaves Saturday and Sunday to go to church or to read a little Psalms and Proverbs if you want, or to read a story from the Old Testament. But that's one way to get through the New Testament. The one-year Bible does this thing where it reads a little of the Old, a little of the New, a little of the Psalms, a little Proverbs, and you get through the whole Bible in a year. What a fantastic program that is. And there's websites that'll send you readings. I think it's Bible.org is one of those where you can just say, send me my reading every day. I want to get through the New Testament in a year. And they'll break it down and send it to you. But you got to do your part. And that's read it. That's my point, is find a reading plan. Find some way. If you don't like reading plans, that's okay. I know some of us resist structure. But that doesn't mean we should be undisciplined. We should still read. Even if you just read a chapter a day, half a chapter a day, a few verses a day, it's less structured is okay as long as you're doing it regularly, as long as you're doing it devotionally, that you're reading with the idea of applying. Some of you have really gotten into the daily bread. What I like about the daily bread is it has a main Bible verse, but it also has a Bible in a year on the bottom. And so it gives you a passage to read, and then it has a little illustration or story. We have these available to you, and we even got them in large print. That was my choice because I couldn't read the little ones anymore. I don't like wearing glasses. So find a way, make it your goal to be in God's Word some way every day, a quiet time. Why is it so important to read the Bible? It's just a bold book, right? No, it's God's book. The Bible says it's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword that could pierce right to the heart. It's God's message to his people. It's God's letter to us. So it's a living book that meets us in a spiritual way. It's how God speaks to us. It's how God comforts us. It's how God enlightens us. It's how we grow spiritually. So we need to be in God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, long for the what? Pure milk of the Word. Don't you love that? Remember we talk about a land flowing with milk and honey? We're going to talk about honey in a moment. Here we have the milk of the Word. It's like food. So that by it, by God's Word, you may grow in respect to salvation. If you want to grow spiritually, you got to be fed the milk, the meat, the honey of the Word. This morning I'm going to share with you 10 benefits of reading the Bible. How's that for a 10-point outline? So get your pencils ready. Take a few notes. In your bulletin, I included the outline. You can fill in the blanks if you wish. It's on the back of your scripture reading. 10 benefits of reading the Bible, and we're going to stay within Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. I've shared this message before, back in 2015. That's 6 years ago. I've been negligent. I should have shared it every year because we need to hear it every year, the importance of reading God's Word. It's a worthy goal, a worthy New Year's resolution. Most of my thoughts come from these two Psalms, but I have a couple other verses too, so have your pencils ready. But here's my key verse, Psalm 19, 9 through 11. They, that's referring to God's words, they are more desirable than gold. Did you catch that? God's word is more desirable than gold. Gold is one of those things people go after. Wealth and riches. This says, if you got God's word, you've got wealth. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Is there anything sweeter than honey? I mean, that is the sweetest stuff. It says God's word is sweeter than honey because it has a spiritual impact, not just physical. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, on top of it all, by then is your servant warned. It's by reading God's word, we're warned by God on how to live. And look at that last phrase. In keeping of them, there is great reward. Not just reading God's word, but keeping God's word, observing God's word, obeying God's word, there's great rewards. So that's what I want to do today. I thought I would count out some of the rewards of reading God's word, some of the benefits of reading regularly. Number one, reading the Bible brings renewal. Renewal. Reading the Bible, don't you need renewal? Maybe a better word would be revival in our hearts. I know my soul on a regular basis gets discouraged. I get down. I need a little restoring. I need a little revival. I need a little life. The Bible talks about losing our first love. Have you lost your first love? Has your fervor for God grown cold? Listen to what Keith Green sang. Keith Green was one of the greatest songwriters, Christian songwriters of the early Jesus movement. Listen to what he said. He says, "My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood." Is that great songwriting or what? Is your heart weary? Have you wandered a little bit, like the old hymn says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." If we get out of the Word, we are distancing ourselves from the Lord. If you feel like you've drifted a little bit this past year, let me encourage you to return to the Lord and return to His Word. God's Word will awaken us, restore us, revive us. It'll light a fire back into our hearts. Pray with David, "Revive me according to your word." That's Psalm 119:25. Revive me, God, according to your word. I believe that if we faithfully read God's word this year, we'll be able to say with David, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." This is my comfort in my affliction. Have we had some affliction this year? Boy, have we had a rough year. So much loss, so much sorrow, so many setbacks. "This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has revived me. Your word has woken me, revived me." Daily study of God's word will breathe new life into your soul. You'll again be hearing God's still small voice. And again, maybe that sweet communion that you experienced early on will come back. Now that alone should be enough to motivate us to read God's word. We need a revival spiritually, individually, and as a community. But let me share a second benefit. Number two, reading the Bible brings wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Who doesn't? Amen? We have this little tiny finite mind trying to find our way through this world. We need the mind of God. Life is so complex, so challenging. The future is so filled with uncertainty that we need wisdom just to survive, just to get our way through. Listen to Psalm 19:7. This is the same verse I shared earlier. "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So it brings restoration and brings wisdom. Well, making wise the simple, doesn't that describe me? Does that describe you? I'm not that bright. I know that. The Bible says that God chooses the weak and foolish of this world. Where do we find wisdom? If we're willing to admit it and humble ourselves and say, "Lord, I need wisdom from God." What's that say? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." In the New Testament, James says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously." God's the one that gives us wisdom, according to James 1. As we immerse ourselves in God's word, we get the mind of Christ. We begin seeing life through Christ's perspective. We get a biblical perspective on life, and we begin making wiser choices, wiser decisions. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 98. "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies." Isn't that amazing? You say, "Well, I'm not too wise." God's commandments, God's word, will make you wiser than your enemies. I have more insight than my teachers. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. This is Psalms, talking about how we can get wisdom and be wise. And Solomon, David's son, became the wisest man in the world. So he was early on, obviously meditating on God's word. Do you see the link here between obeying God's word and wisdom? He says, I have observed your words and I've become wiser than my teachers. If you want to become wise, you need to read, listen, apply, and obey God's word, and you'll become a wiser person. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? Remember when King Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, the temple, and took the choice people back as prisoners of war? Daniel was one of those. Just a teenager, and he was taken off to Babylon, where he would live the rest of his life. You know what's amazing? They put him into some training. He didn't know their language, but he had to learn their language. That would be a lifetime goal right there, just learn another language. He didn't know their sciences, but he had to learn their sciences. He learned from their teachers. And in 3 years, when he was tested, it says he was 10 times smarter than his teachers. He understood things that they didn't even understand. They were called the Magi. They were called the wise men of Babylon. They were Daniel's teacher. Daniel became so wise that he was exalted to the number one position in the nation. So there's a perfect choice of a man who dwelt on God's word, stayed true to God, did not compromise, and God made him wiser than those around him. When I was in Bible college, one of my best friends was a guy named Leonard. And Leonard, in his first year, was really a poor student. He was even slower than I was at school. And he got on what's called academic probation. What that means is if you don't pick up your grades, we're going to have to send you home. He did not want to go home. He wanted to stay at Bible college. And so he decided to take this literally. He would get up every morning before everyone else and spend an hour in prayer and scriptures and praying and asking God to help him in his classes. And by the end of the school year, he was on honor roll. His grades came up, and he graduated from Prairie with me. So there's an example of somebody who became wiser by spending more time with God, more time in his word, Leonard. His brother preached here. Rick, my friend Rick, he preached here one Sunday. So Leonard and I and Rick all went to Bible college together. So we've learned two things. Reading God's word brings renewal or revival. Reading God's word brings wisdom. Let's go to a third. Reading God's word brings discernment. Discernment. That's a word we don't use much, kind of like wisdom, but it's the ability to know right from wrong, to discern right from wrong, to not be gullible, not be deceived. We need discernment, especially our young people need discernment. Young adults, they're making decisions that could impact the rest of their life. They're at a crossroads, and if they make the wrong decision, it could take them way away from God. They need to have the discernment to choose which way to go. They need a spiritual discernment. Listen to Psalm 9, verse 8. The commandments of the Lord are pure, here it is, enlightening the eyes. So you got that mind, wisdom, here you got the eyes. We need our eyes enlightened so we can see right from wrong, truth from error, good from evil. You know, these cults that spring up, a lot of them are made up of people who used to be Christians. And they get deceived because they don't have a discernment, and they get pulled into these cults. So we need to ask God to help us to know right from wrong. If only Adam and Eve had discernment to know whether to eat that fruit or not. They didn't. They didn't know right from wrong. Same kind of deceptions are attacking us each day. Satan is going to make sin look so attractive. We have to have discernment, enlightened eyes. So number one, renewal. Number two, wisdom. Number three, discernment. Number four, reading the Bible brings joy. Joy. Have you lost some of your joy, some of your zest for living? I tell you, this past year has been a wet blanket, hasn't it? I mean, it's robbed us of our joy. God's word, though, will revive it. Listen to Psalm 19, verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God's word is right. When you read it, your heart jumps for joy. One of the byproducts of reading God's word is renewed joy. But when we get out of fellowship with God, our joy is lost. Remember when David strayed away from the Lord? Here he was, a man after God's heart, became this great giant killer, became a great king, conquered all the nations around him, but he fell into sin. And later, when he finally came back to the Lord, what did he say? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He'd lost his joy as he strayed away from God. He understood the link between joy and a right relationship with God. You cannot have joy if you've strayed from the Lord, if you're walking away from him. You'll never have true, lasting joy until you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope that's true of you. I hope you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Then you can experience inner joy. Number five, reading the Bible brings holiness or purity, holiness. It's been said that the Bible will keep you away from sin, and sin will keep you away from the Bible. Let me read that again. The Bible will keep you away from sin, that's holiness, but sin will keep you away from the Bible. If you fall into sin, you won't want to read God's word. I'm going to say it using me. The Bible will keep me away from sin, and sin will keep me away from the Bible. Likely, when we're involved in a sinful relationship, a sinful activity, we don't even want to read the Bible. We don't want to go to church. That relationship is gone. But when we return to the Lord, we have a new hunger for the Lord and for holiness. When we read God's word, it produces purity in the heart. Listen to this verse. Psalm 119:9 asks a question. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How in the world can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer is the next line. By keeping it according to thy word. You see, purity comes when we listen, read, study, meditate, and obey God's word. Interesting, it says young man. I know that women and men, we all have our weaknesses, but it talks about purity here. Men seem especially prone to impure thoughts and lusts. We're hammered daily with sexually themed media and billboards and magazine and TV and internet. It's just aiming at us like darts. So men, we need to be in God's word to have a pure heart. Women, we need to be in God's word to have a pure heart, pure of mind. Psalm 119:11, that's two verses later after this question, says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Treasured in my heart. Treasuring God's word. We talked about gold a few minutes ago and honey. Those things are precious. God's word needs to be precious. We need to treasure it. Value it. Read it. Meditate. Think about it. Even memorize it if we really loved it. We need to value God's word and see its worth. It's more valuable than gold and silver. A sixth benefit, reading the Bible brings strength. Oh boy, do we need strength. When facing difficult trials, we need to go to God's word for strength. This has been a year full of trials, economically, physically, emotionally, politically. It's just been a crazy, crazy year. Here's a good verse for you. Psalm 119:28. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Listen to that. My soul weeps. There's been a lot of weeping, a lot of grieving. And what do we say? We say, Lord, strengthen me according to your word. I know you've encountered some trials, that you've been weakened. So that's our prayer. Lord, strengthen me according to your word. Say that with me. Lord, strengthen me according to your word. That's what you should be praying every day. As a kid, I enjoyed watching cartoons. Any of you kids enjoyed watching? You remember Popeye? When he was weak, what did he reach for?
Spinach.
Spinach. Boy, they did a good job of that propaganda, didn't they? Spinach made you strong. Interesting, though, there's a dichotomy there. On one hand, he's encouraged to eat spinach for strength. On the other hand, we see him smoking a pipe and fighting all the time. Not exactly a good role model. Fortunately, I never acquired a taste for smoking or spinach, by the way. But when I'm weak, it's not spinach that's going to make me strong. It's not what we eat. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We have something better than spinach. We have God's Word. We've got the Holy Spirit speaking to us and building us up and strengthening us. Strengthen me according to your Word. That should just be a regular prayer. But we've got to be in God's Word. Don't say, strengthen me and ignore God's Word. It's like Popeye said, I need strength, but then never get us spinach. We need the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment. This is also true when we face temptations. It's God's Word that strengthens us to resist. Jesus faced temptation by Satan in the wilderness, and each time, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. He resisted. He got his strength from God's Word. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in God's Word. It's God's Word that was able to make Satan flee. In order to quote it, you got to know it. We've got to be in it. We've got to be immersing ourselves in it so that when that temptation comes, we're able to quote it and say, no, that's not right. Okay, so we need strength number seven of ten. Reading the Bible brings guidance. Guidance. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It doesn't get any clearer than that. It's God's word that lights our way. It shows us the way. The purpose of a lamp is to light our path so that we can find our way. How far does a lamp shine out? Most of us don't even have lamps. We have spotlights. We have flashlights that are super bright so far. We're talking about a little oil lamp or a little candle, one of those little lights with a little wick on it. It's just enough to show barely where we're going in the dark. God's Word doesn't show us the whole path. It just shows us each day how to live, one step at a time, one day at a time. That's why we need God's Word every day, so we can take the right steps. All of you here have driven in the fog. And you can't see too far ahead sometimes. I mean, you can hardly see the front of your car. Sometimes you stick your head out the window because your window is so fogged up. The goal is just to keep the car between the lines. And you know eventually you'll get to your destination, right? One of my favorite Bible promises is found in Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, your ear will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Isn't that a beautiful verse? It's the same idea. God's Word keeps us on the right path, keeps us between the moral lines, keeps us so that we don't stray, and we just follow and listen and go right and go left, and God will lead us and guide us. So God's Word brings guidance. Number eight, reading the Bible brings peace. Peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, those who love your law have great peace. That's a byproduct, a reward, a benefit of reading God's Word, is you'll have peace. Isn't that wonderful to know in the unsettled times that we live? We're going to still have hardship, going to have troubles, but through it all, we have God's peace. And that's what makes a difference. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. God gives us his peace. It was a troubling year. It was a trying year, and we may have another one just like it. We may face even more serious health issues. It's starting now to touch people we know, this virus. It may touch your family. It may touch your finances, your job. It may be a very difficult year. I'm not going to candy coat it and say everything's going to be good because the calendar changed. The world's in a rough spot right now. And many of us are worried about the future. We're worried about our safety, worried about the election. It comes to a point where you just say, God, I cling to you and ask him for peace, peace that passes human understanding. We have Christ in the midst. Christ's peace can rule over, overrule our anxiousness. The same verse reveals another benefit of reading God's word, and that's stability. Number 9, reading the Bible brings stability. Psalm 119, 165 again. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Don't you love that? Nothing that the world throws at us, that Satan throws at us, is going to cause us to stumble if we're grounded and stabilized in God's word. When the storms come, and they will, God's word is that strong foundation upon which we stand. Remember that wonderful Psalm 1? It talks about the person who meditates in God's word. What's it say about him? It says he's like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. A tree that's got down deep roots. There's stability there when you meditate in God's word. That's a great promise, isn't it? God's word gives us stability and strength, but we need to be putting down deep roots into God's word. That's the streams of water. Let's notice a final benefit of reading God's word. Number 10, reading the Bible brings faith. Brings faith, builds faith. I hear people sometimes say, I just need more faith. I just need more faith. What's the Bible say? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You want faith? Get into God's word. Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. Spend more time in God's word and your faith will be built. This idea of hearing doesn't mean in one ear and out the other. It means listening, applying, obeying, meditating on it. James tells us, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. What is the best method to hear God's word? Some people are readers. I'm not a reader. I've told you that before. I read enough to prepare for my teaching, but I'm not just a leisure reader. This says hearing the word. Maybe literally you're better off having it read to you over your phone. Bible on CD or tape or website, recording, any way you can get God's word into you. It doesn't matter whether you're reading it or listening to it, but it's going to build your faith. Some of you right now are saying, I read the Bible, I've read it before, but I don't remember any of it. I don't retain any of it. My mind is like a strainer. It flows in, but it all flows out. I don't seem to catch anything. You know, that's okay. There's still an effect of cleansing. You may not know it, but God's word is still having an effect on your heart and mind, even your subconscious, just by reading it on a regular basis. You see, water flowing through a strainer produces a clean strainer. And water flowing through your heart may produce a clean heart. You may not say, I can't even remember what chapter I was on last week or last time I read. It's okay, just reading it, if there's a cleansing ability to God's word, even if you don't think you're retaining it. Listen to Isaiah 55, this will be our last verse. 55:10-11. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so, that was a metaphor, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and succeeding the matter for which I sent it. God's word is having an effect on your life. Even if you don't think you're retaining it, there's a positive effect. It's accomplishing what God wants it to accomplish. It will not return void. It'll accomplish what God wants it to do. So are you convinced? Are you convinced to read God's word? Let me go through these benefits. Now, I don't expect you to remember these words. I just want you to get the overall picture that when I read God's word, my life's going to be better. But let me go through it again. Reading God's Word brings revival or renewal, brings wisdom, brings discernment, knowing right from wrong. It brings joy. It brings holiness and purity to your life. It brings you strength, spiritual inner strength. It brings you guidance so you'll know which way to go. It brings peace to your heart. It brings stability and brings and builds faith. Will you reap the rewards of reading God's Word regularly? That only happens if you read, if you follow through, if you obey. Make it your New Year's resolution to somehow be in God's Word every day. And find a partner who'll do it in advance. You know, after reviewing all these benefits, it occurred to me that this message was 100% targeted towards believers. If you are not sure yet about the Christian faith, if you're kind of new to church, the Bible, about Jesus, you're still exploring Christianity, my encouragement to you, read the Bible. Same as I did to the believers that are already here. The greatest benefit of reading the Bible is you'll get to know who God is and to know Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. As you read and get to know who He is, you'll want to follow Him. So begin your exploration, if you don't know yet, in the New Testament. If you're new to the Christianity, don't start in the Old Testament because you'll get bogged down in a lot of the history of the Jews. Start with the life of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books will reveal Jesus to you. Amen? Boy, our time is gone. Let's pause and pray. Father, I pray that we would, each one of us, take up the challenge of getting your word into our heart on a regular, systematic kind of way. Lord, help us to be renewed and revived, become wiser, better able to discern right and wrong. Lord, restore unto the joy of our salvation, and bring holiness and strength and guidance to our life. And Lord, let us sense your peace as we enter this new year. Give us stability. Build our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.